Well, as we're here today, that's going to kind of continue on from last Sunday, and I think everybody that's here was here last Sunday, so I'm not going to go through the whole dehydration process physically that the body goes through. It's there, and we're understanding of it. We're wanting to focus upon, out of nothing else, the understanding of how us as spiritual beings, as us serving God, how we can become spiritually dry as we just lack what we need in that of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can be all built up word-wise in scriptures and verses, and we can maybe expound them off to people, but I'm going to tell you, without the power of the Holy Spirit behind those words, within those scriptures, it becomes nothing more than a sentence on a piece of paper that they hear. Sometimes that's like that for us as well. How sad it is that we've been born again and we've received Christ and we've received the Holy Spirit in us and the filling of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. But even us as well, as we go through these things of life, we can become to where it's nothing more than mere words on a paper. Or we get to that concept of thought, just like we sometimes do or could do with that of communion, and say, well, yeah, it's just that communion thing that we do. We just do that because it's in the scriptures and it's part of our tenets of faith, or it's part of our structure that once a month or every Sunday or whatever the case might be that a church observes communion, that we just observe it to be observing it. But there's something much more deeper in the understanding of to receive communion in a way that what Jesus meant it to be, in the remembrance of Him. And so even for us as Christians, we have got to guard ourselves. Do you believe you've got to guard yourself to hold on to the things that has been instructed to you, that have been placed in you by that of God through that of the Holy Spirit? Do you think you've got to guard those things? Do you have to keep them motivated and alive and functioning? You know, as He places these things within us, He wants us to use them. He wants us to facilitate them. He wants us to be out there doing what He has asked us to do, to be His hands and the feet, to be His voice, to be whatever it is that He has desire for us to fulfill. Had a wonderful segue back into our Sunday school hour where this young man didn't come out of the pits of bad sin and things and said, oh, I found the things of God. You know, he's just going through high school and found out as he got graduation, it's like, what do I do now? And he felt, I need to go to a Christian school, college. He didn't know why, but he felt there was a tug, And we're talking back in the class about the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. And through his whole life, beginning at that time of just going to school and not knowing for exactly sure why or what was laying ahead, but he knew there was something that he was to be doing, and he felt called to do that. And you would have to be there to just go through the whole scenario of what started out as a first response was, I think I'll go to a Christian college and get schooling in a Christian place, And it wasn't that he was taught the Bible at all, it was just a Christian college. Anyway, he had a wonderful life and how he obeyed what the Spirit was teaching or talking to him about. I sit here or stand here today looking at you, and I wish I could just kind of visually go into like a synopsis of how was the Spirit moving in your life? What did the Spirit move in your life, 20 years ago or 15 years ago or 5 years ago or even 2 weeks ago? What did the Spirit do in your life drawing you onto that path that He has set for you? How many of us, there's probably, for sure in my life, I would not want to look at the past sometimes because it showed me a lot of times where I veered off of that path, of what He had for me. But thank God for His grace and His mercy, amen, that He draws us back to that if we're willing to be obedient and listen and say, I blew it. I got to get back to you, God. And so that's that softly and tenderly. There again, Jesus is calling. He calls us that first time for our salvation. And I believe even throughout our Christian walk, He softly and tenderly calls us. And now, by that of the Holy Spirit, just leading and drawing us into these things. So we spoke about how detrimental it is for the physical body to be lacking that of water, of moisture. I want to look at it today in regards to how does that look like in that of a Christian? How does that look like in an individual or possibly even into the body? A church as a whole could be this way. We've got to guard ourselves. If everybody that attends here was dry, guess what kind of church we would have? a dry church. If everybody comes in and they're parched and they're just about ready to be blown away, guess what kind of church we're going to have? A church that's parched and is about ready to be blown away, you know? Or a church that's possibly ready to receive any wind of false doctrine and things that we want to pick up on and gravitate towards. Or maybe we want to take God's scripture, but we want to kind of forget the end part, that what he calls sin, and we just want to stay in that level of his grace and his grace and his grace and his mercy and his grace and his mercy. And we can have all kinds of sin and do all kinds of things all week, but we're going to come back to a church that says grace and mercy, and it'll be okay. You can go do it again next week. Well, no, you know, we can't be that church. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. We all are benefactors of it, but there's a point in time of growing and maturing and developing to realize that you cannot continue to use God as that, you know, trump card. You know, I'm going to throw that out there every time I do this. Without any hesitation of really being remorseful or convicted to say, I'm sorry. When we are dry and we are not being filled with and continue to fill with the Holy Spirit, there's a good chance that we will become hardened to those things because we get used to those things. Because the enemy is very sly to come into these situations. In that class of the video this past this Sunday, how he began talking about a very well-known situation of a crime that had taken place in New York, and how this man was basically just following that of a demonic spirit to do the atrocious things that he was doing with murdering people. Gets into prison, gets caught by God, and all of a sudden he's changed, and now, you know, he's on fire for God, but he's in prison, but he's leading those prisoners and all into that realm of understanding of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And they still will have to serve their time for the crimes that they've done. But sometimes I remember and I reflect back thinking, you know, sometimes we think the people that are only in a cell that are restricted, that can't go anywhere, are those that are incarcerated in a facility. But I began to look at it that I was restricted and I was in a cell when I was in this world of sin and lost to the things of God. I was in a prison cell myself, but I just didn't have physical bars around me. How about you? Did you remember seeing bars around you? No. But you were restricted. You were incarcerated. You were, you know, you were living in the world, and the world was in you, and that was as good as it got. Sometimes it requires maybe being put behind bars to where you see that physical thing saying, oh boy, and then God gets a hold of you. And how sad it is and how it takes this place to get into that situation. But I believe that's that thing there to where even what the devil meant for bad, God can turn those things around for good. And it's hard to understand. And I don't make believe that I can say just instantly that I can say, I believe that's a good thing and it's okay and all that. You know, there's things emotionally and physically and my own understanding of things that I thought, oh boy. But Lord, help me understand that there's forgiveness for everything. But the key to that whole thing was that there is spirits out there working, good and bad. And there's good and bad working in all things. And for us in the church, we want to, of course, connect to, hook up to, and stay connected to that of the good spirit, and to have the Holy Spirit moving and actively alive in us and in our church. Remember, I talked about in my beginning of how deep is your spiritual water table. Our dryness in our flesh got me to thinking about the water table and the natural and where it goes from there. Here's some signs of spiritual dryness. Giving while empty or weary. Giving while empty or weary. A sign of spiritual dryness is that we are no longer giving to others out of a sense of fullness. We feel empty, weary. Our tank is running dry. This spiritual dryness, if left undetected or attention given to it, can turn into a burnout. Haven't we ever heard people say, I got burned out? People get burned out at their jobs. They get burned out at church. You know, they go, and pretty soon you've got that burnout. It's what the devil really likes about us, you know. Nothing more than the devil would like somebody to get so drilled into their job in the natural, to just all they do is just in that job morning, noon, and night, 24/7, all the time. And pretty soon, after a while, they get burned out. There's nothing left of them. Problem is, they get burned out of their job. Probably their family is burned out. There's a lot of things that collateral damages that take place in those areas of burnout. But we can have that burnout even in our churches if we continue to give out without being replenished, having ourselves replenished. You got to be big enough and mature enough, I believe, to call upon God to say, fill me again. I need more of you. If left unattended, spiritual dryness can impact our emotional, our mental, and even our physical state. In 6:9 in Galatians, it says this, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. God's word, there's things throughout scriptures in different areas of these things that we might look at today that talks about do not grow weary. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, don't grow weary doing good. Hebrews 12:3, weary, you know, don't become weary. Don't become discouraged. I think that's one of the things that the enemy really likes to do is, especially in our churches as well, is to just sow discouragement into people. Maybe their own personal life. Maybe they felt like, you know, I've been following this Jesus thing for some time and I still have problems. I still have situations. I still don't understand what's going on. I thought this would all be a lot easier now, but it's not gotten easier. Matter of fact, it's gotten a little more difficult at times. And they get burned out or they get weary. And pretty soon we lose heart in that. So one of those areas that we become empty, we become weary. If you're empty, can you pour anything out of an empty vessel? You know, I just heard today that I need to get more gas for the tractors. Because why? The container is empty. And with the container empty, it ain't going to be able to fill the tractor next week or the week after to keep it going. Because that tractor runs on what? Gas. Without gas, it doesn't go. For us in the spiritual realm, if we are empty on the things of the Spirit and we're dry and our tank is empty, you're not going to go as far. Chances are you won't even go anywhere with the things of God. You will just hit a wall. You'll become discouraged. You'll become depressed. You'll become agitated. You'll give up on the church. I'm not going to go there next Sunday. I don't get nothing out of it. Well, you know, you need to be looking to get something in you if you're out of something, you know. The church is only here as a corporate body to come together to hear maybe scripture from the pulpit to give encouragement. But like Jim said on the tape, you know, pastors and things of that nature, we can teach and your teachers and pastors can teach or read the scriptures to you, but you've got to take it and go with it from there. You know, we don't force feed it into you and tie you down, or we don't put it into your IV and say, here, until you get filled of it, you're not going to leave. It's we fill it, we share it, we encourage you, the people around you. That's what the corporate body is about, is to keep us going. We come on a Sunday, and the more people that we have here generally causes a little bit more of encouragement. You know, if it gets down to the point where I just come and it's just me standing here and the lights are on and I look around and I'm the only one here, it's like, well, okay. Now what, God? You know, I believe in my God. I would probably still have my own service because I do that anyway if I'm out here throughout the week and I just come out here sometimes. It's just me and Him. The chairs are empty, but I'm just having a conversation with Him and walking around and talking to Him, and He's talking to me, and I bring up things, and He tells me things, and then I might all of a sudden just decide to sit and to be quiet. But I've learned that you got to be responsible for yourselves. You got to be responsible to keep yourself in the things that are developing and growing you. Amen? The pastor cannot do that for you. This church cannot do that for you. You are only the one that's going to be in control, for the most part, of your destiny, of what God has for you. It's a good thing. But you've got to be willing to follow it, and you've got to put some shoe leather to it. You've got to put some action to it for it to be accomplished. Wouldn't it be great that God has great and marvelous things for you to do, and all you have to do is just sit in this chair, and all of a sudden it's like, boom, the chair lifts up. You don't even have to walk. He just takes the chair throughout your life, wherever you're going, and you can just sit there and relax. Not going to happen. You're going to have to put some sweat equity, amen, sweat equity into that spiritual walk like we do for the things of our natural, of sweat equity into a house that we remodel. You are getting that sweat equity because you got a house and you got it for a fairly good deal because you got to put some work into it. And then rather than hiring all the work out, you're going to put some of your own labor into it to save even a little bit more. But I believe God is looking for us. Now, it's all been done for us. I can't sweat equity my salvation. Or my my stand with him and all that. It's done. I can't get it by works. But he does want me to work. You know, faith without works is dead. So we got to put action into the things that God has put within us. That young man on that video talked about going to school for a college and a Christian college. Felt like he was supposed to go to this church he heard in Brooklyn, New York. Had no connections to it, no understanding of it, not raised in a family of ministry or pastors. But God had a call on his life, and he just began to follow that. The voice, the leading, the growing into that. He could have very well done the other thing and gone the other direction, couldn't he? Wonder what he would have missed, the blessings in his life. What are you missing currently in your life because you're not fully on that road, that path that God has for you? And you're not on there because you're dry spiritually. You just don't have any oomph in your tank anymore. What about serving out of duty? Oh, I got to do this because they're expecting it of me. I got to go to church because the pastor's expecting me there. I got to do that because the church is relying on me. I've got to do this. No. I hope you say, I want to come because I want to be in the presence of God with a corporate body. I just want to attend with some other faith people. I want to come and say, hi, it's good to see you. Hi, I've been praying about you this week. God laid you on my heart, and I just hope everything is well, whatever the case might be. Those things happen to me throughout the week when I touch base with people and send them a text or something like that. That I don't know, I just want to let you know, or an email. You're on my heart, and it's been, you know, you've been on my heart for a couple of days. I've just not responded. And finally, like the final second day, third day, or whatever, it's like, okay, Lord, I keep thinking about this. I'm going to send them a text saying, just thinking of you. Don't have to say anything else, really. Just thinking of you. Unless the Spirit prompts you to say something encouraging in Scripture or something. But just how many love to hear that I've been thought about this week. Pastor, just thinking about you, keeping you in prayer. Wow. Hey, good. Thank you. But we think we got to serve out of duty. When we are spiritually dry, there's a subtle little shift in our motivation to serve God, whether it's in the church or elsewhere in the kingdom of what he has for us. We're no longer being motivated by a passion to serve. You know how important it is to keep that passion alive? The passion alive in a marriage, the passion alive in serving God, the passion alive in your job that you do every day. We all know when that passion wanes that, you know, things begin to happen, that we don't have as much power, we don't have as much excitement, the passion, the encouragement, the things that drive us and drove us to wherever it is that got us to what got us to that point in time in our life back then. We begin to think, oh boy, no longer that passion to serve. We begin to feel an inner reluctance, or we begin to, you know, I don't want to serve. I'm the only one serving and doing anything. Everybody else is just sitting on their duffs. Well, okay. Fine and dandy. But if God has called you to do something, God didn't say, you do it, and now compare yourself with all those others that aren't doing it. You got a legitimate complaint. No, you don't. If God's put it in your heart to do something or serve or do something in the church or whatever, you know, physical things and, you know, cutting the grass, you know, doing repairs or whatever the case might be. It's like God has put that in you. It's a thing you want to serve. You want to just be used and do the things for God and his kingdom. And don't look at others that aren't doing it and chastise them. If nothing else, praise God that you're being obedient. Amen. Maybe we ought to pray, Lord, I can't be the only one that you have spoken to do this much in the church. We've got 12 other people. We got 15 others. We got 35 other people out there. And only 5 of us are doing something, whatever the case might be. Lord, there's got to be more out there that you're pulling on to say, help, 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 help. But a lot of people, they don't want that. They get that feeling like God is asking them to pray or to be a help doing something physical, and they want to come up to the altar and have the pastor cast the demon out of them. Pastor, there's something in my spirit that says I should be doing this and this for you. It's got to be that of the devil. Cast it out of me. You know? Now I'm being fictitious there. But people start hearing that, and it's like, Lord, I didn't ever bargain to go to that church and get so wrapped up into doing the things of serving you or being a help in a pantry or being a help in an outreach or being a help over here or a help back there or whatever the case is. I just want to come to church and sit for about an hour, and that's it. But don't come to serve out of duty. We got to keep it fun. Keep that passion. Keep that drive there. And you know, and really, when you're serving your local church, you're serving the pastor, you're serving your congregation, whatever the case might be, you know, you're really serving who? God. Jesus. And you're honoring him. I always remember the story of Mark Bredenkamp way back. And before he got into what he was doing, what God's doing with him back at that time anyway, he said, when he went to that church, all he did was stack chairs and unstack chairs, stack chairs and unstack chairs, stack chairs and unstack chairs. You know, do janitorial stuff at the church. That's all, you know, that's what he felt that was what he was to do. But he did it in servanthood, in servitude. You know, I just, and then what happens is then, you know, the pastor or the church body are reciprocating that blessing that you're actually blessing God with because you're serving him. And it helps those around you. And it's a wonderful thing to have a sense of wanting to serve and to be used in the kingdom of God. What about our faith? Remember we talk about giving? Giving while empty or weary. That's the thing. You're trying to do that. Ain't going to work. Serving out of duty. The third one is our faith is no longer contagious. What happened to that excitement in your faith? What happened to that encouragement and all that happened when you were receiving that of Christ and there was a change in your life from what the old was to something new and there was what? You find that, we talk about passion back in that last one of serving out of duty, but even in this of our faith is no longer contagious, we're not zealous anymore. We, you know, that's really what's sometimes an important part in our churches is praise God if you do get one or two people in and they get saved and they get zealous. Hopefully, maybe those that are old, dry people sitting around, dry and, you know, dried up, that zealousness, they go, wow, I had that at one time. Haven't you ever heard people say when people come in like that? I've heard this story where, you know, people get on fire for God and they're ready to go and, hey, let's do this and let's do that. And somebody in the back there, some old guy that's sitting back there has been around for a while. He goes, ah, don't worry, son, it'll die off. Don't worry, ma'am, it'll... That excitement's not going to be there forever. You'll get to be just like the rest of us. Pace yourself. There's a purpose for that at times, but don't pace yourself. It's good to be zealous. According to David in the Psalms, it's the joy of our salvation that results in us leading people to God. Psalms 51:12-13. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Wow. That's what we want to do. We want to, you know, speak your words into these people, Lord. We want to be an example. We want to be an encourager. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Remember the joy of your salvation when that hit you. How many years back? Hallelujah. We are spiritually dry. It affects our relationships with those that we do not even know or that they don't know Jesus. You know, we are that example. We are the Bible that people are going to read, whatever the case might be. But we should be showing that of Christ and the things in our lives that have changed. We are not excited to share. We've lost our joy. It's nothing like somebody to see a Christian that is nothing but a sour face. I've seen them out there, have you? Hey, what's going on? Oh, nothing. How are things in your life? Oh, they're okay. Is there any excitement and encouragement going on? No, it's just the same old, same old. It's like, oh, man. The joy of the Lord. Be joyful, you know. Think of happy things and the goodness of the things that God has. Let's continue on here. It affects our relationship with those who do not know Jesus. We're not excited to share. We have lost our joy. People are not seeing something in us. That causes them to thirst for God. They're not seeing something in us to give them that thirst for more of what we've got or even to scratch the surface of what we've got. We're lacking the motivation to even share with them. We feel that there's nothing to offer. And I know as we go through life, we all have situations in our life, even those of us of even good, solid Christians. We've got trials and tribulations and things that takes place all the time. But we've got to remember who is greater in us than the things that we're going through and around us. And it takes, that's why it's important to go to church. That's why you start missing church, you know, you begin to dry out. I'm going to tell you that right now. You begin to dry out. You get out there, and I've always thought of that, and I've talked to God about those things. You talk about the sheep and the herder and the weird shepherds and blah, 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 blah. And the safest place to be in the midst of a herd of sheep is where? In the midst of the herd of sheep. Where's the most dangerous place to be? Out on the fringe of where the sheep are at. The sheep are all here in the pasture, and one or two or whatever, they get kind of like, oh, I'm just kind of wandering around, you know, and they get further away from the protection. They get further away from the main body of the sheep. And the shepherd is here watching them, and all of a sudden one goes over here, and what is on the other side of that tree line waiting to snatch something? The wolf. The wolves are smart. Matter of fact, everything in nature is smart, except sometimes man. The way nature is designed, it's amazing to see these things and documentaries and things of the wilderness and over in Africa and even out in the parks and stuff in America, you know, but the wolves, these packs of wolves, they're very cagey. They know how to look for the animal of that herd that's the weakest. The weakest kind of stays with the herd, but it doesn't take long for that wolves or that pack of wolves, they spot that one that kind of lags behind a little bit. That kind of mopes around or has a limp. I don't know. And pretty soon, whether it's wolves or lions or tigers, you name it, when they hunt in packs and stuff, or even by themselves, they notice that. And I find it so amazing. I feel bad, but it's amazing. It's the things that happen. But all of a sudden, you got these packs of wolves, and they see this one that's a kind of not as healthy as the rest, or they're kind of getting off by themselves. They've still got, they're eating this grass and all that, and the rest of the herd kind of keeps walking this way, and they're just kind of lagging behind, like, I'll catch up with them, no big deal. And pretty soon, the wolves see that, and two or three begin to get between that particular animal and the herd. And then another two or three get on that side to where he can't go that way. And there's one or two behind him. And that's all it takes. The rest is history. Because they slowly just keep coming in on that one defenseless little animal out there. And before you know it, the herd keeps going. The mama might look back and make a noise like, but it's too late because the wolves have devoured that lacked behind. We individually need the church body. Because many of us get off to that fringe area, and the devil, the wolf, he sees that, and he begins to gnaw on you. And little by little, you don't realize it, but you're getting further away from the things of God. And pretty soon, you're down. And pretty soon, you can't get up, because what happens? All of the wolves pounce on that one, and it could be a buffalo. It could be a big animal. It could be anything. But if they're sick or not entire, whatever the case might be, they've gotten away from things. They will just pounce on them. And they go to the juggler. They grab them around their neck and bring them down because that's how you get them down. And once they're down, they've lost the battle. Generally, once they get them off their four hooves and they're down on the ground, chances are they're not going to come back up. The devil does that very sneakily to the body of Christ when he goes in and he starts to cause the people to scatter. When the people begin to scatter, he begins to look to see which ones are the weakest, and he's going to go after those. After he's done with you, he'll come back to that pack or that group of Christians because he goes, that must be a weak body. We've got to be a strong body of believers to be strong in the things of God, to stay in faith, to stay strong to fulfill the things of this day. And to do that, we need to be filled and filled and filled and filled with what? The Holy Spirit, day after day, hour after hour, every time. Because we dry out and we lag back and we don't come and we don't wonder why, or I don't need to go. They say the same thing, or I know it all, or I'll just do my own little Bible reading throughout the week. Oh, that's good, but did Jesus say that's the way you disciples are? Okay, now that I've told you everything, go off on your own, in your own little corners, in your own little world, and it'll be good. No, they went out and they continued. They went out in pairs, generally, and they shared and they taught and they gave examples and they brought forth that of what Christ and what Jesus did on the cross. 1 Thessalonians 1:7. I've got to go there for a reason. I got it wrote here. We have nothing to offer examples. 1 Thessalonians 1:7. What do I want to say here? Okay, I'm going to start 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as we know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all. In Macedonia, to those who believe. So we've got to be an example. Even people out there of faith need examples, you know? And those that are outside of faith, they need examples. God has given to us and given and put into us something very special. Amen? The Holy Spirit to be in us and to lead us and to guide us and to teach us and to direct us and to share things, so that we can be that example to those around us at the time that they need to hear something from God. We are all on a mission from God. Amen. And not just in the Blues Brothers movie. Dun, 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 dun. I'm on a mission for God. But we are on a mission for God. People need what you have. I'm thankful I got it. Amen. How about you? I'm glad I got what I got from God. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's in me. I'm glad he keeps refreshing me. I'm glad I'm wise enough to know that I don't have it all. I'm wise enough to know that I don't understand it all, that I still need him. I still need his word. I still need the Holy Spirit. I still need to be led by you, God. Hallelujah. I have not arrived. How about you? Another area, God feels distance. Oh, I just don't hear from him anymore. He just doesn't speak to me like he used to. Does that mean God has changed? Does that mean God has gotten himself further from you than before? Does that mean that God doesn't care about you? No. When somebody comes and says, I'm just not hearing from God anymore, a lot of times we would say, well, if I were you, I would go back to the last place that you heard from God and go back there and sit or stand or get on your knees or whatever and say, I'm back, Lord. Probably for me, the Lord would say, well, it's about time, Tim. It's about time. I've been watching you, and you've been frustrated. You've been hitting your head against the wall trying to figure this out and saying, I'm not hearing from God anymore. He doesn't care. God says, you got to get back where you left me and where I've got you, because I wanted you to go right, and you went left. I wanted you to go straight, and you veered off. And once you veered off, of course you're not going to hear from me, because I'm not out there. I'm here in my path that I have set for you. It's important for you to be listening to me and to follow me, and not your own intuitions of ways of what you want to do. That man in that story, I have to go back to that because it's so powerful this Sunday morning. All this thing going on and being led and being going to this church, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, he heard about it, it's a wonderful, he's felt that where he God wanted him to go there. And how it all got to where he got there. He eventually got there, and even the pastor of the church goes, what is this guy? I don't even know him. He has nothing here, and he's showing up all the time. Volunteering, volunteering, volunteering. And now he's a pastor in that church. The young man was hearing from God and hearing the Holy Spirit. And he said to go and to be a help and a servant and to be a part of that church and serve. He goes, so I went and I served and I was volunteering and driving 2.5 hours each way through New York traffic to go to a job or to be a part of the ministry and doing nothing but putting stickers on books. And I wasn't getting paid for it. Here I got a college degree, I've got my, you know, I'm not making money, but I'm hearing what God wants me to do, and that's what I'm doing. The pastor of the church goes, what is this guy all about? But he heard from God, that young man, and he continued on that path. And it fulfilled what was to be. Amen. Getting back to God feels distance. We are spiritually dry. There can be a gradual distancing from God. And I've realized that. Have you noticed that when those times have come where you've gotten distance from God, it's usually become a gradual way? It's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit here. Either we are not encountering him regularly, or we are not hearing from him, or we are hearing him speak to us off and on. He doesn't speak to us off and on. God is continually speaking to us. Do you believe that? God is constantly speaking to you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. maybe through his word as you meditate and have that time of devotion, but day in and day out, you know, you're driving your car, you're at work, you don't have time to read your devotion, or you can't get to the Bible, but you're being led by him. You're hearing from him all the time when he's wanting to drop something into your spirit. You've got to be waiting and listening and being prepared to hear that voice. That voice that comes into your inner being and says something. Or it prepares you for something. And it's not that I read the scripture that prepared me for that situation tomorrow. It was something that I heard in my spirit that morning at work, or as I was driving to that job. Something in my spirit spoke this, and I don't quite understand it, but all of a sudden that day it fulfilled itself and I was prepared. It's because of the Holy Spirit in us, being led by the Holy Spirit, hearing from God through the Holy Spirit. Psalms 139, 17, 18. What does this say? Psalms 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You shouldn't feel distance from God. He's there all the time. Remember, Psalms 139, 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Wow. He is not distant from us. He is always there right with us. A couple more to go through here. Our spiritual life is in a rut. We lack the excitement once we had for relationships with God, our devotional life, our connection to God through the Bible, through prayer. It's all become just very occasional. Oh, if I've got time, I might do it. Oh, well, I don't have time, I can't do it. Or it has ceased to exist at all. We love God, but we've lost that sense of being in love with Him. Our relationship with God has lost its freshness. I'd already say 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Moving on. Our spiritual life becomes a rut. Not good to be in a rut. We know what a rut's like in life, right? Been a rut in your job, a rut here, a rut there. You're just like, what do they say? A rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends knocked out. You're just underground. You're just buried, just going. Being dry in the spiritual, it could be a contributing event to your life. It's why things unfolded the way they did, because you lost that freshness with God. You lost that first love with Him. You come to find out that it's a state of spiritual dryness does not always creep up on us slowly. Trials or even a sudden trauma can result in us being depleted spiritually. You know, we never know what holds the next hour, the next day of our lives. And if we don't keep ourselves kind of like maintained and in shape, you never know when those things come. You know, as important it is for our first responders, no matter what they are, they've got to keep themselves in shape to respond to the things that might come upon them so that they can respond accordingly and have victory over that. Remember how I'd shared one time, I had an officer tell me all the things that he does exercise-wise for so many minutes, for a 15 or 20-minute burst of constant heavy-duty exercise or whatever for about 20 minutes. Because he says, if I'm on the street and something happens, chances are that person I'm dealing with, their energy level will last about 2 to 3 minutes. I've got to just outlast their strength and have stamina. And if my stamina is built up, then I will be able to survive and I will win out over that situation. Our spiritual stamina has to be built up. We've got to exercise it. We've got to keep in tune to it. We've got to read His Word. We've got to pray. We've got to meditate. We've got to be in His presence. We've got to ask for more. We've got to be in constant conversation with Him. Because whenever a particular trauma all of a sudden appears on your path, it's not maybe going to be addressed to you and say, okay, in 3 days this is going to happen, be ready, build yourself up. No, it's going to happen all of a sudden. Suddenly a thing happens in your life and you're going to pull on every power and every strength that you've got for that of a God in you to be able to go through it, or to be able to stay strong in it, or to give you the encouragement, to give you the strength, to give you the peace, to give you the comfort, whatever it is, to know that it's okay. Not right now, I know, but it's okay because I know my God. And my God will get me through this. But you got to be prepared. You got to stay strong. You got to be ready. A negative thinking. How many people begin really negative in church all of a sudden? You know, this person, she or he used to be so positive. Everything was great, da, da, da. Now all of a sudden this person has become nothing but a negative. You know, everything that happens, it's down. Man, this, that, give it a shot. It won't last. Oh, the Spirit came that day. Don't worry, it won't last. Or this is happening. Don't worry, it won't last. Very negative in their thoughts. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, it says in Romans 14, 17. We are spiritually dry. The atmosphere of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy seems to evade us. When we are spiritually dry, okay, the atmosphere of heaven is no longer with us. That righteousness, that peace, that joy, we no longer have. Instead, we find it easier to give away to a negative thinking and responses. We falter in our ability to resist and cast down those thoughts that would destroy us and those emotions that take us down so far. Those thoughts that we have all of a sudden begin to take action on us. Remember, we said, you know, the sin is not necessarily having that thought in your thought process of the sin, but it becomes sin when you act out on it and you put feet to it or you put action to it, then it becomes sin. When those thoughts come on you, those are just cast down those vain imaginations. Cast down those thoughts and say, Lord, that's not a good thought to have. Lord, come and take it from me. Lord, I just pray right now that it leaves my thoughts. And what's in that place of that thought, bring your love, bring your peace, bring your comfort. Oh, Lord, just bring your glory into that thought process so that I'm thinking upon you at all times. The D.L. Moody, great evangelist, he understood all these things about spiritually being filled all the time. When asked why he placed so much emphasis upon being filled with the Holy Spirit, he wisely said this, because I leak. Because I leak, that's why I need to be filled. And even if you didn't leak, if your top is off, the water will evaporate. It'll get you one way or another. It'll leak out of you or it'll evaporate from you. Again, it gets back to the importance and the emphasis of being filled, refilled, continued filled of that of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual dryness or depletion is not a problem in itself. In fact, the awareness of our spiritual dryness is a gift from God. It is his invitation to come and partake of his life and his spirit. I'm thankful for that. Remember, I think, well, in Sunday school, we talk about, you know, as we're doing something and how we get convicted of it. I'm thankful in a way that God does convict us through that of the Holy Spirit to help us stay strong into him. If we didn't hear that thing from God, that correction, that thing to correct our course, we wouldn't change our course and we would be on that course that's not good and eventually we would be off course, way off course. But thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to where when you do something or not do something that you should or whatever, but you just feel that in your spirit, like a heaviness or something of a God just says, oh, you let me down, or oh, that's not what I wanted you to do, or why did you do that? And all of a sudden, you in your own spirit then, you're beginning to feel that and you get convicted and all of a sudden you know that you've done something to cause God not to be happy. And you go, I'm sorry, God. But it is good to be convicted of the Holy Spirit, or from the Holy Spirit. It's only to get us better and better and better and closer to the things of God. So it's okay. It is okay to have that spiritual dryness is a gift of God when we get aware of it. When that Holy Spirit in us says, Tim, it's been a while since you prayed to me. Tim, it's been a while since you searched me. It's been a while since you've just taken time to be with me, or whatever the case might be. And I begin to think back, it has been a while. I thought I just did that 2 days ago, but it's been 3 weeks, Lord. Wow. Life has gotten me so busy that I forgot about you. It is his invitation to come and partake of his life and his spirit. However, spiritual dryness does become a problem if you do not notice that you are becoming depleted, that you don't recognize that God is the answer to your need. These are the areas that it's going to be a hindrance to you. You don't notice that you're becoming dry and depleted. You don't recognize God is the answer to your situation at hand. You become so exhausted to connect with God. The devil loves to keep you busy so that you have you don't have enough strength left to even pick up the word or even talk to him. Therefore, it is important for us to identify the signs of this depletion as early as possible. You, God, out of Psalm 63, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. You are my God, and I search for you. We need to search for him daily, day in and day out. Not that he's hiding from us, but I think it's because of so much clutter gets in our way that sometimes you can't see him for that clutter. And we've got to keep our eyes upon him. Amen. We've got to be open to him, sensitive to him, and realizing that there's a force in this world that wants to get you dry and drier and drier away from the things of God, so that you are no longer viable, you are no longer a threat to him, the devil, that you're no longer doing what the things of the kingdom of God want you to do, to spread love, joy, compassion to those around you, to show them what God is all about. You have people come up to you that want to tell you and share things about Jesus with you, and they have such a sour look on their face. My goodness, why would you want to go where they're at, you know? You want to go to people that are vibrant, that are happy, that, well, don't you know this is happening in the world? Don't you know this is taking place? Yes, it is, but I tell you what, our church is, it's great because we focus on the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And God is our source, and we're going to be okay. I'm going to be okay anyway. How about you? Do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I don't know what all you get into in conversations, but you're doing something that they're seeing that they want to hear more about. And don't get down in the trenches with them. Well, you know, as they're down and about and just all down in the dumps and all, they can actually draw us down into the dumps, you know, and all these things going on, and pretty soon you can come away from, but I just don't listen to them, or I listen to what they're spouting off, but I'm always thinking about things of God, you know, and it's like, you know, and I like to tell people, well, I'm not of this kingdom, I'm of another kingdom, my kingdom's doing fine. Yours might be going down the tubes, mine is doing fine, kingdom of God. Kingdom of God right here on this earth. Wherever I'm at, I'm a child of God. I'm a king's kid, and I'm going to be in his presence. And wherever I'm at, I'm feeling he's going to put something around me, and I'm his. And he's going to be with me. How about you? Amen. Be aware. Don't dry out. Ask for more filling. He's there to fill it up. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think in God's filling station, I don't think he's got a self-service pump. I think it's full service all the time. I think he's there all the time. Just, I'll fill it up for you, Tim. Here it is. Boom. Download it into you. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, as we go through it. I pray, Lord, that it's your words that go into the hearts and the ears of these people. I pray, Lord, that your spirit will move mightily within them. Father, that is not what I say. It's what you say. Father, it's what you are wanting to do in your body here at Harvester's Church. Father, touch and anoint and fill each one here today. Father, for those that don't maybe have a total understanding, Lord, I pray that they would just continue to hear from you, that your spirit would draw them, speak into them, and give them a confidence of understanding of what the Holy Spirit is about. That, Father, we need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives daily. And we thank you that it's there for the asking. It's there for us to partake of. It's there as we request it, Lord. You're there just wanting to fill us, and I thank you for that. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We want to serve you these days in a very, very powerful way, Lord, but not power in what we think of the natural and what we do individually, but just in the power of your church in this community, working through this as Harvester's Church, and even in working in other churches in our community, Lord, that are tapped into the same message that we are in, Lord, that of the true word of your word, Lord, that the Bible is your word, uncompromised, Lord. We're not going to degrade it, and we're not going to speak down upon it, and we're not going to take things out of it. We're going to just stand on your word for what it is and share for what it is, and we're not going to turn it down to something that the world wants, but we want to continue to keep it alive and powerful and strong as you shared it, Father. And so let us just be that example, us and other churches in our community. And I just thank you, Father, right now for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the leading and the guiding of that, Lord, right now in our lives. Father, as we give, thank you for that you've given to us. Let us return it a portion back to you to be blessed and to be used in your kingdom. And for that we hold on to and that you've given us, Lord, I pray that will meet every need that we have financially and things that we need to take care of within our own home, of food and housing and electricity and all the things that we have, Lord. I just thank you that you are our provider in all these areas. And I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.